Can I use warm? I don't know if I can even use warm. Going to be warm this week anyways, and then they tell us a big snowstorm next weekend. So, welcome to Ohio. If you don't like the weather, wait a day and it'll change. They say that about just about any state, I think. Well, we are blessed today to have Brother Bruce Fry with us. It's this might be his third time, Brother Bruce. Did you look at... I think it's the third time, maybe the fourth. See, I've lost track. Good things happen. You know, can't keep up with all those. So he's been here three times before. Some of you he's new to, and so you'll enjoy this morning. He's got some singing for us, some preaching throughout the day. Probably going to tell us, he was sharing some things with me in the office about some exciting things that are in the works for him and his brother Sam and Sammy. So he'll probably fill us in on that today. Brother Bruce, you come ahead. Take this Sunday school time. Brother Dustin, he's got the cordless mic on.
Gotcha. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning. It's good to see you, and thank you for allowing me to come again. And it was the first time I was here was 2012. I was looking at my records. It's been a while. And so I've got a few things I want to share with you, and I'll share them as we go out in the day, maybe wait till tonight. But there's a company. Oh, I forgot my thing. First thing that goes to memory, and it's hard to recall that second thing. Some of you will get that on the way home. Thank you, sir. How you doing, my friend? See, I've got this wireless stuff now. I can go from pew to pew. Mess with you a little bit. What do you think? Yeah? Y'all just aren't awake this morning, are you? Oh, me. Well, I want to thank you for the hotel room and your kindness to me and allowing me to come. And I, for Sunday school this morning, I want to share a little message with you entitled, Leaving Your Past Behind. You know, as I go across the country, I see a lot of people that are bogged down because something in their past, they just cannot seem to get over it. And God wants us to be able to get over that because He has some things for us to do. And how many of you ever heard this statement? Boy, if only I knew then what I know now. You ever heard that statement? Well, I wrote a song about that, and I want to sing it for you. It's called, If Only I Knew Then What I Know Now. I recently, well, wasn't that recent. Last May the 31st, I fell off a ladder, and I broke my wrist in three places. And they had to put a plate in there and all this stuff, so I'm still struggling doing certain chords on the guitar, but it's getting a little better. And the cold weather really affects it. It's weird. And I was driving one day. I don't know why I'm telling you this. It's just on my brain. But I was driving one day, and there was thunderstorms going around. And I mean, that thing just started throbbing. It was the weirdest feeling. It's amazing how the atmosphere can affect your body like that. God loved me. All His heart, I wish I'd known that from the start. Jesus died to save a wretch like me. I would have been on my knees if only I knew then what I know now. Giving me time to understand, grateful for your mercy and your grace. I should have been on my face if only I knew then what I know now. If only I knew then what I know now, I'd have trusted you. Read my Bible every day, worshiped you in every way. the then and now. I wish our time could be turned back somehow. If only I knew then what I know now. If only I knew then what I know now, I'd have trusted you sooner, no doubt. Read my Bible every day, worshiped you in every way. What I know now, if only I knew then what I know now. Amen. Well, how many of you, if you could go back in your life, there's some things you'd do a little different? Are you with me on that? Some people say, oh, I wouldn't change a thing. And I said, wait. You must have had the perfect life. You must have walked on water, because everybody has something in their life, I think, that they would like to change and go back and change. I definitely wish I would have gotten saved when I was 13 years old, but I didn't get saved until I was 43 years old. I'm grateful that God was patient with me and long-suffering and with us all as far as that is concerned. And I know I've probably shared this story with you, but I'll share it real quick, and because, again, all of us have a past. Now, I was never in a motorcycle gang. I had a Harley Davidson motorcycle, but I was never in the Hells Angels Club or the Outlaws Club. But those guys used to come and hear me sing. Now, not at the same time. They'd have killed each other, you know what I mean? But that was the crowd that I hung out with. That was the crowd that used to come to my shows and things. And I remember this story about a fellow by the name of Jim Delaschmidt. Now, Jim Delaschmidt at one time in his life was the president of the Hells Angels Motorcycle Club in St. Louis, Missouri. But he had a mother who prayed for him and prayed for him. And every time he'd call her on the phone, she would always end the conversation with these words, "Jim, will you please come to church Sunday?" And he'd say, "No, Mama, I don't need church. I don't need God. You can quit praying for me. I'm good. Don't worry about me." But she just kept praying, kept asking. And then one day she was talking to his younger brother, who was lost as well, and she started crying, and he said, "Mama, what are you crying about?" She said, "I'm so worried about Big Jim. I'm afraid he's going to die and go to hell because he's made his motorcycle his God." And the younger brother, after he hung up with his mom, called his big brother on the phone, messing with him a little bit, and he said, "Hey, big brother," he said, "I heard you've been praying to your motorcycle. Is that true?" He said, "No, I don't do that. Who told you that?" He said, "Mama did." And Jim got mad. He called his mom on the phone and said, "Why'd you tell my brother I prayed on my motorcycle? I don't do that." She said, "I didn't say that, Jim." He said, "What'd you say then, Mama?" She said, "I told your brother you had made your motorcycle your God." He said, "What do you mean by that?" She said, "Well, you see, son, the Bible says this." And he said, "Stop right there." He said, "I don't want to hear nothing the Bible has to say. Just tell me what you meant by that statement." She said, "Okay, son. You see, the Bible says," he said, "I told you I don't want to hear what the Bible says." And finally, being his little mother, she just told him to shut up. She said, "Son, the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You put that motorcycle before God and it's become a little god in your life. Will you please come to church Sunday?" He said, he was so mad. He said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "I'll be there. And you tell that preacher I'm coming. You tell them people I'm coming." And Sunday morning came, and Big Jim put his Hells Angels leather clothes on. He had one of them Fu Manchu things with the rubber band tattoos. All he was a rough looking guy. And he got on his motorcycle. Before he got on his motorcycle, he said, "I'm not going to feel any pain at church today." So he popped him a few pills, got on that Harley Davidson, drove to the church. And when he got in the parking lot, he made it backfire 3 or 4 times. He wanted everybody to know Big Jim's coming to church today. And then when he walked in, he sat in the very last pew. And as he was sitting there, I'm sure looking like he did and everything, people were going, "Wow." But there was a couple down here that saw him, and they were kind of looking at him like that, you know. And he looked at them real quick, and it scared the fire out of them. And then all of a sudden, a door back here opened, and the choir started coming out. Now, it was back in the day where the choir used to wear the robes with all the different colors and stuff. And, of course, he had popped some pills, so he's going, "Wow, look at that." He's all messed up, you know. The last one that came through the door was his little mother. And when she saw him sitting back there, she dipped her head, acknowledging he was in the service. And the choir sang, the preacher preached, and then when the invitation time came, this big motorcycle president, full of pride, full of pills, got out of his pew and walked to an old-fashioned altar just like this and knelt and trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And they tried to kill him when he got out, you know, because you just don't leave the Hells Angels Motorcycle Club. It's just, that's not something that's heard of. And they tried to kill him, but God preserved his life, and he became an evangelist preacher and preached all over the country for many years. No telling how many people got saved under ministry of Dr. Jim Delaschmidt. And this was his favorite song, called "The Old Man Is Dead." Now then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time, he'll stop by and ask me, "Hey, where you been? What's on your mind?" I wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell him I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. The man you see before you may look a lot the same, may wear the same clothes, have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside, you can see inside instead. You would see a brand new man, but the old man is dead. See, according to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I used to live such a wicked life, I had no hope in sight. I was lost in darkness, searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and the old man was dead. The man you see before you may look a lot the same, may wear the same clothes, have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside, you could see inside instead. You would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. Thank God, the old man is dead. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know what? I want to do something for the little kids in here today, all right? Since we've got a bunch of little ones in here. This is called Zip It, Lock It, and Put It in Your Pocket. Now, let me explain it to you. This is a song about the tongue, and it goes like this. You got to watch me now. Zip it, lock it, and put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. Then zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue, or you may have to eat the words you say. All right, how many of you think you can do that with me? All right, old and young alike, let's all try it. And if you're, I'm going to watch you, and if you're not doing it with me, I'm going to get you to come up here and help me. All right, here we go. You ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. Then zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue, or you may have to eat the words you say. All right, I think you got it. And now if I can get my pick off of here. There we go. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words won't hurt, they say. must confess I disagree, I'll tell you why today. One day at school a friend of mine was sad, I asked him why. A bully called him ugly names, and I saw my buddy cry. Alright, you ready? Here we go. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue or you may have to eat the words you say. All right, you're doing good. Sometimes those ivory teeth, what is that second verse? I'm telling you, the first thing that goes to memory is hard to recall that second thing. All right. Behind those ivory teeth sometimes can cut just like a sword. Now, that's not it. Man, I think I've got the words right here. Aren't you glad I came? there it is. I should have just got it out anyway. Oh, I had it pretty close. Behind those ivory teeth, your tongue can cut just like a sword. Sometimes we hurt the ones we love and wound them with our words. Amazing how a thing so small can cause such hurt and pain. I know now why my Bible says the tongue no man can tame. Here we go again, you ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. You're doing good, preacher. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue, or you may have to eat the words you say. The Lord hears every word we say as we work and play. Keep your heart clean every day and read God's word and pray. Here we go. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale and it gives your heart away. Very good. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue or you may have to eat the words you say. I think we can do it faster, don't you? Here we go. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, watch the words you say. Your tongue, it is a tattletale and it gives your heart away. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue or you may have to eat the words you say. You did good. Hey, give yourselves a hand. That was great. Oh, man. Just something for the kids to have some fun. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm made upside down. My feet smell, my nose runs. Some of you get that on the way home. Tough crowd this morning, preacher. Oh, the kiddies going somewhere? Well, I'm glad I did that before they left. Awesome. You got to be careful sniffing or anything this day and time. Everybody, you got the virus. Man, you can't even have a runny nose without somebody getting scared to death. It's just crazy, isn't it? Well, leaving your past behind. Open your Bibles, if you will, with me in Sunday school this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Father God in heaven, I pray you'll bless the reading of your word and the teaching of the Sunday school lesson this morning. Open our hearts so we can see your word in our lives, Lord, and I pray if there's anybody who is bogged down by their past, Lord, that today you would free them from that and show them through your word that you put all of that under the blood. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Now it says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So number one here, forgetting the past. Now, there's some things that's good to remember. In the morning service, I'm going to preach my testimony, and it's good to remember when you got saved. That's a great memory. But there's some things you need to forget, some things in your past that you need to forget about. Romans 11:27 says, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." And Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more." Isaiah 38:17, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." You ever think about that? That when you get saved, God has taken your sins as far as the east is from the west to remember them no more. He's cast them behind your back. And Micah 7:19 says, "And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Wow. Psalm 32:1, David penned after his mess up there with Bathsheba. He said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And I quoted this in the song that I sang, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 11, or 9 through 11, the Bible says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." See, many people live their lives and they keep thinking about things they did in the past. But if you're truly here today, born again, covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are covered. They're in the depths of the sea. God's not going to remember them no more. He's not going to bring them up. And if you're thinking about things like that, that is not God. That is the devil. The devil wants you to live in defeat. He wants you to live in your past. Because he knows if you do that, then your present time, you're not going to do anything for God in the present or in the future, because he's got you bogged down there. Here's some more past tense verses we'll look at real quickly here with our time remaining. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, by being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Romans 5:8 says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:10, "When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." Ephesians 2:1, "You hath He quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Colossians 1:21-22, "You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He hath reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." And so first of all, we see we need forgetting the past. But then secondly, as we continue to read the verse, it says, "And reaching forth unto those things which are before." So we need forgetting the past, and secondly, reaching in the present. While we're in this present time, there's some things that God wants us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, I says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." You know, we need to be living our life in this present time for His honor and for His glory. We are shining billboards for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make Him look good. Romans 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Right here in the present, we are running a race. Do you know that we are in a battle, folks? And a lot of Christians don't even realize we're in a battle. And it's a sad thing. That's why God tells us to be good soldiers of the cross. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And then Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Yes, Jesus is coming again. He's going to take us out of here. But while we're still here, we need to be running our race with patience. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." In Psalm 119:9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." In Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's why we need to get the word of God in our minds and in our bodies, because when you memorize and meditate on Scripture, it's like taking a bath in the word of God. It washes you from the inside out. And then when the devil attacks your mind, and this is where he's going to attack you right here, Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says in Romans 12:2. And so anytime the devil attacks, he's always going to attack here, because if he can get you thinking wrong, then you'll start doing wrong. And that's just the way he works. And he wants to get in your mind and tell you how worthless you are. Wait a minute, we just sang a song. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah, I'm a child of the King. And I need to remember that right here in this present time. So, forgetting the past, reaching the present. Here's some more present tense verbs for you to ponder on. Romans 4:7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation? 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God I am what I am. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're not going to become sons of God. We are sons of God right here in this present time. I'm not, it's not progressive sanctification where I'm going to be saved one day. I'm saved right here, right now, for His honor and for His glory. And the Bible says in Colossians 2:9-10, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is He that is in me than he, the devil, that is in the world. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Right here in this present time, the things that we are learning from the Bible, we need to teach other people. That's what God is talking about right here. In this present time, that's why these present tense verses are so important. We need to be doing what God has called us to do. And Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And then turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I counseled with a guy on the telephone the other night, and I encouraged him to go to this chapter, Philippians chapter 4, and memorize these verses right here. Wonderful verses. I've got them memorized, but I'm going to read them in case I mess them up. You know, the thing about it, as you get older, I memorize verses, and then I have to go back and re-memorize verses. Isn't that crazy? But, you know, they say, if that starts happening to you, you can hide your own Easter eggs and you can have a ball, you know what I mean? But Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That phrase there, be careful for nothing, means be anxious for nothing. There's a lot of people who are scared to death today, and they're anxious, and they're walking around in fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Be careful for nothing, but at everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look what happens next. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In this present time, you can have the peace of God. And this guy that I talked to on the phone, he said, I just don't have any peace. I said, hey, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. I said, you want peace? You'll find it in the Word of God, and you'll find it through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we see forgetting the past, reaching into the present, and then we read the last verse, or the second verse, Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So thirdly, and we'll be finished here this morning, pressing onward towards the future. In James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a doer of the word and a hearer only, he deceiveth himself, and I'm messing that up too. But let me just look up them verses. See, I've got them memorized. They're in my head, but sometimes they're just not in my heart where I want them to be, because if they're in my heart, they usually come spilling right out of my mouth. Amen? So, let me see if I can do this. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a doer of the word and not a hearer, he is like unto a man beholding himself in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, forgetteth what manner of he was, It's something like that. Anyway, read it and memorize it yourself and you'll have fun with that, okay? But basically, it's like looking into the mirror and seeing something that needs to be fixed and not fixing it. I don't know if maybe you woke up this morning and you looked in the mirror and went, I ain't messing with that. It wasn't like that for me when I woke up. My hair was going this way, and I said, man, I got to fix a couple of things here. You know what I mean? And so I had a guy, and this is funny that you know, those verses are in the book of James. I worked with a guy named James on a Coca-Cola truck one time. And you talk about somebody who was full of himself. This guy, James, was full of himself. And preacher, this is back in the old days, you know, when we had the Brio cream. You put that slick back like the Fonzie days, you know. And this guy had a comb that stuck out of his pocket about that long in his back pocket. And any time he would see his reflection, he would stop. And he had this stance. He'd go like this and grab that comb and start combing his hair. And I would watch him do that day after day. And I said, James, I said, let me ask you a question. And he was doing his deal. He was pushing some drinks and he saw his reflection. So he stopped, you know, pulled out his comb, was doing his deal. I said, let me ask you a question, James. I said, have you ever seen the back of your head? Because, I mean, the back of his head looked like a rat's nest. I mean, it looked like a comb had never been through it. It was nasty looking. And he, when I told him that, he said, no, sir, and it don't bother me. And I said, okay. And that was a man that saw something we need to fix it and just didn't fix it. Oh, he was a mess. I don't know why that popped in my head, but there you have it. All right? And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said these coming toward the end of his life, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. See, we need to be pressing on towards the future because there's going to come a time when Jesus Christ is coming back to get us. And I hope that I'm alive when that happens. I know that I'm going to heaven, whether I'm in the grave or whether I'm here in the rapture. Either way, but I'd rather go in the rapture. Now, Spider-Man's my favorite comic book character, but I've always wanted to fly like Superman. I think that would be so cool. And if the rapture happens, whoo, I'm up. I'm up and away out of here. Hallelujah. And 2 Timothy 2:8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And when the rapture of the church happens, and then the judgment seat of Christ, then Jesus wants to give us crowns for what we did for His glory. So we should be pressing on towards the future. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, doing it for His glory. And Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And then John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place for us right now. We should keep our mind on that. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And one day we're going to be with Him forever in heaven. So we should be pressing on towards the future. Forgetting the past, reaching in the present, and pressing on towards the future. In Romans chapter 3 and verses 23 and 20 through 25 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins. Here it is. That are past through the forbearance of God. You know, with us, we have stipulations on our love. God does not, He's not like that at all. With us, there's because love. I love you because you're beautiful, because you're talented, or how you make me feel. And then there's when love. I love you when you're good, faithful, or obedient. There's if love. I love you if you'll please me, if you don't hurt me, if you measure up to my expectations. But then there's God's love. He doesn't say I love you because when or if. Rather, God says I love you, period. No conditions, no fine print, no timetable. Joel 2:25 says, is talking about your past and the things that you've done in the past. Joel 2:25 says, and I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten. That is a beautiful verse to me. Some of the things that I did in the past that I think about sometimes, and I have to remember that verse, He's going to restore the years that the locust has eaten. Wow. So future tense verbs, And a couple of illustrations here and I'll be done. 1 John 3:2 says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "We which are alive shall remain, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." And Jude 1:24 says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His presence of His glory with exceeding joy." In 2 Corinthians 5:8, "We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Galatians 1:4, "Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." That's one thing that I can't wait. When Jesus Christ takes me out of here, again, whether in death or in the rapture, there'll be no more sin, no more self. My brother says no more Sammy, but I don't. My name doesn't start with S, so it doesn't fit there. But that's one of his sayings, no more sin, no more self, no more Sammy. Galatians 1:4 says, "Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." All this talk in future tense. Revelation 22:3-5, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. His name shall be in their foreheads, and they shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 22:20, "He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly." I'm going to read these real quick and we'll be done. I know I'm going over here a little bit. There was a man by the name of David Berkowitz. He was called the Son of Sam. In 1976 through 1977 in New York City, he terrorized New York City, killing people. He committed 6 murders, wounded 7 others, leaving 1 blind and another paraplegic. But he was saved in prison and forgiven. And some people say, there's no way. Hey, David murdered. He committed adultery, but God forgave him. But this man was forgiven and he wrote this. "If you come from a background where there's a lot of tragedy and sword tales, the Lord says to forget those things which are behind. Not that you need to completely forget, but you don't have to keep revisiting that, because the Lord has taken all my sins and thrown them into the depths of the sea, as the Scripture says, never to be remembered anymore. So why should I go fishing there and pull things up?" Isn't that good? When we are caught in the feelings of shame and unworthiness, we can't serve God with our whole hearts. Instead, we're restricted by our past. If you feel weighted down by the wrong you've done, ask God to help you fully believe in His gift of forgiveness and new life. Because He remembers your sin no more. He's put them behind His back. He's cast them into the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west. So don't go fishing where God has put up a no fishing sign. Hallelujah. And remember, your past is covered by the blood. 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Psalm 88:12, "Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? The future is as bright as it can be, but hard to see through the mud of the past." In 1929, the game between Georgia Tech and the University of California at the Rose Bowl, Roy Riegels was the center for the University of California. In the second quarter, a Tech player, Stumpy Thompson, fumbled the ball on the 20-yard line. Roy picked up the ball, but was disoriented and starting running the wrong way. His own teammate who caused the fumble, Benny Lom, chased him yelling, "Turn around!" Roy thought it was someone on the other team after him, so he just kept on running. Benny finally tackled him on the 1-yard line to keep him from giving the other team a touchdown. Georgia Tech blocked Lom's punt for safety. Georgia Tech won the game 8-7. The 2-point safety was the difference between winning and losing. And that's how he earned the name Wrong Way Roy. And all his life, he was called Wrong Way Roy. In August 1991, Roy was inducted to the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. And when asked about that incident, he replied, "That was a long time ago." And when the devil brings up your past, you can say this, "That was a long time ago." And that's under the blood of Christ. When I first got saved, moved back to North Carolina, I was overwhelmed with guilt because I'd lived for 43 years of my life for the devil, and the past that I had was so sordid. And it just got all over me. The devil was messing with me, and I went to talk to my brother about it, and he encouraged me to memorize these two verses. forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he made this statement, I've never forgot it. He said, Bruce, if you continue to live in the past, you'll never do anything for God in the future. And that is the thing that we need to do. Forgetting the past, reaching in the present, pressing on towards the future. Nostalgia is great if it doesn't obliterate the reality of the now. Remember the good old days? Many of the old days are excellent and ought to be continued, but today is the most important day of your life. You can't relive the past. You can only recall it. You can't live in the future. You can only plan for it. Today is the only day you have to live. Build upon the past with an eye toward tomorrow, but be sure to fill today to the brim. Leave your past behind. Father God in heaven, thank you for our time in Sunday school this morning. And I pray that something you allow me to say and that your word helps somebody today who may be living in the past. Help us, Father, to remember we have a future in heaven with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.